Doubt. Do you ever have doubts? Do you ever doubt? Because doubt is a word that is associated with uncertainty. And if it is left untamed, it becomes disbelief. And where disbelief dares to enter in, well, then fear is not far to follow. Doubt is a word that is often associated with the disciple Thomas. In fact, he's known as Doubting Thomas. But if all of the disciples here on this in this text today could have been examined thoroughly for doubt that Easter night, they would have all, no doubt, tested positive, because they too were filled with uncertainty and a bit of disbelief and no doubt fear. Our text tells us that on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, which was Easter day, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Instead of following their leader, they had abandoned Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Judas came with his band of thugs, when Jesus seemed like he needed them the most, what did they do? They abandoned him. They had run off into the night, leaving Jesus for dead at the hands of the Pharisees. They had failed in their following. So by this time on Easter evening, the word was now out that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Mary had given the report, "I have seen the Lord." It was just as he had predicted. After 3 days, he would rise. They should have listened. They should have followed. They should have done something, but they didn't. They hadn't done anything. And so their minds just must be at this point. The disciples' minds must be like this swirling mess of doubt-filled thoughts, wondering what would happen if Jesus came, because they've been told by Mary, "I've seen the Lord, I've seen Jesus." So what would happen if Jesus came and appeared to them? Because, of course, he's going to scold us. He's going to despise us. He's going to condemn us because we didn't follow him. And so you see what happens when doubts abound. Doubts disorder truth from reality. It separates the two. Doubts lead to fear and uncertainty because the mind forgets what the truth is anymore, and we start to chase after lies. And so doubts become quite damning because they convince the doubter that there's no hope. You're only left with condemnation. And so how surprised must they have been when Jesus comes onto the scene? No doubt they are quite surprised that he comes in the room without opening the door. But even more so, they're surprised by how he responds. It says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now, wait just a minute. This is not a scolding. This is not any sort of condemnation. This is not what their minds most likely expected. There was no disappointment in the voice of Jesus. In no way did it seem like he despised them for their unfaithfulness. It's quite to the contrary. This was Jesus being true to his character, of being one who loves and forgives in a way that goes against how a human thinks with common sense. This is that scandalous love that defies human reason. This is that peace that passes all understanding, literally as he delivers it, not once but twice. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And what's more, instead of letting them have it for all of their doubts and fears, he's gifting them the Holy Spirit. He's not scolding them. He's saying, I got a gift for you. And what's more is I'm not going to condemn you. I'm going to send you. It's what we call the office of the keys. That special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of the repentant, but to withhold forgiveness from those who are not repentant. He was giving them the keys, literally, to the doors of heaven to serve others in the stead and by the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you can just imagine here as they're standing, they are absolutely confused at this point. To think here, we expected punishment. You ever been in that position? You know you're going to get punished. But instead of punishment, what do they get? They get peace. No punishment, just peace. And it's something that he didn't hesitate to deliver to doubting Thomas either. Though the disciples delivered to Thomas the same testimony that Mary had given them, I've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord, we've actually seen him. He's like, nope, not going to believe it, not going to happen. Not until I actually see the nail marks, not until I actually put my hand into his side, kind of gross and everything. But at the same time, got to have the physical evidence, the physical proof. I'm demanding it, got to have it. And that's exactly what Jesus enters in and gives to him. He gives to his doubting disciple the proof that he demands. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The proof that Thomas demands, Jesus gives. He gives him proof with peace. It was more than he could have ever imagined, and it was certainly more than he deserved. But that's the way our gracious God works, not just with Thomas, but also with us, because he knows you've got your doubts too. I've got my doubts as well. We doubt his love for us. Does God really love me, considering all I've done, considering what's in my past? We doubt if we're truly forgiven. Does God really forgive me, especially for that sin, whatever that sin is? We doubt whether we'll be saved. Will God actually welcome me into his kingdom? Is he really preparing a room for me? Because I'm not worthy. We have all sorts of doubts when it comes to our relationship with God. But God defies all common sense and human reason, and he comes into our lives and into our ears by way of his word, and he does not hesitate to seek us out to defeat our doubt. And he does more than just walk through a wall like he did with the disciples. He actually walks into our very hearts and lives to save us. His pierced hands that he showed Thomas have pierced our hearts as well. He has pierced our hearts with his word. And by his resurrection from the dead, he has shattered the very barrier that existed between us and God. By his gift of reconciliation, he has delivered to us the perfect gift of his peace. We are at peace with God, and with that gift of peace, he also delivers to us unconditional love, unconditional forgiveness, and the promise that will be fulfilled of eternal salvation. So for the times that you doubt God's love for you in your life, hear His word and let it sink in, let it soak in, literally inwardly digest it. Hear this: for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing separates you from the love of God. God loves you, without a doubt. For all the times that you've doubted God's forgiveness for you, hear these words once again. You already heard it earlier in the service. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. It's not whether you felt forgiven. It's not whether you've forgiven yourself, which you can't actually do, and everything. The reality is, who's the one who does the forgiving? God does the forgiving, and God is the one who is faithful. For all the times that you have doubted God's salvation for you, think about it this way. For God so loved the world. Are you in the world? Absolutely. For God so loved you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. God does not condemn you. God sent His Son to save you. He bled for you. He died for you. He was, in fact, raised for you, and He is coming back for you. So for all the times that you have locked yourself into a room filled with its doubts, and sometimes that's physical and sometimes that's more metaphorical, but any of those times, listen to His word. Open those ears up again. Go like I do with the preschoolers when I tell them, okay, we're reading God's word, and what do I say to them? It's time to get out our listening ears. And I have them actually grab a hold of their ears. And I say, and when we grab a hold of our ears and we have our listening ears, what do we do with our mouths? And they all go like this. Because they know at that point that we need to soak it in. All right? And that's exactly what we do, because as we listen to His word, what do we find? God's word is efficacious, it's powerful, it's performative, and it actually does what it says, because it is a doubt-defeating gift that is given to you. By His word, He creates the universe. By His word, He creates you and me. By His word, He actually created the faith that allows you to believe in Jesus as your Savior from sin, death, and the devil. By His word, He said to sick people, be healed, and they were healed. By His word, He looked at people who were demon-possessed, get out, and they got out. By His word, He actually said to people that were dead, get up and be raised, and they were raised back to life. By His word, He said, it is finished, and oh my goodness, it was in fact finished. Sin, death, the devil, all done for. And by His word, when He said to His disciples, just like He says to you and me, peace be with you, it is delivered right into your very lives. No more separation exists between you and God, because the peace of God is yours. So imagine the sigh of relief that came over those disciples when Jesus spoke those words. Peace be with you. You're not condemned. You're loved. You're forgiven. You're mine. You're set free. I mean, talk about a weight that's lifted. That's the way it is with us. That's why you come here to hear every single week. Your sins, no matter what they are forgiven. They aren't separating you from God anymore. That's why when we have a baptism, we get to behold the work of God, and in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we see this child or this adult. We just saw it with Chris Hilton here recently. Going from condemnation to salvation. And we see it in His body and blood, given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. All of this is so that we receive Jesus, so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. My dear friends, let there be no doubt about it. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, all. May it guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. All God's people said, Amen.